Matt Walsh has, Matt has been working for the Blaze for how many years now?
Started 19 years.
We haven't been around that long.
He
started, he's a guy who we just were following his blog and thought this guy is really sharp. He has turned into one of the strongest conservative voices for the next generation. He's just written a new book called The Unholy Trinity, The Blocking of the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender, and he joins us right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Matt Walsh, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Glenn.
The Unholy Trinity. I tell you, every time you come out with an article, you are one of the few authors that I try to read every time. Because you always have something, you've always seemed to distill whatever it is the country is talking about or debating, you seem to be able to distill it. You're taking on a pretty huge task here to distill life, marriage, and gender.
Yeah, well, this is it probably deserves many more books and a better book than I'm capable of writing. But in fact, when I looked at before, when I thought of the idea for this book and I kind of looked to see if anyone else had written it so that I wouldn't have to, but it seemed that nobody had. The relationship, or the way that these campaigns on the left are connected, their battle to redefine human life, marriage, and gender, and it strikes me that this right here, this is the foundation of the entire culture war. That they're all connected, and they happen one after another.
Yeah,
and it seems like there aren't a lot of people talking about how the fact that these things are connected. So that's why I unfortunately I had to be.
So show me how they are connected, Matt.
Well, because what is the left? You know, what is leftism? What is liberalism? Whatever you want to call it, I think fundamentally it's the rejection of objective truth, of moral truth, scientific truth, the rejection of God. And in place of that, once they've rejected that, what do they put in place of it? They put relativism, where everything is relative to how I feel about it. And so they began, 40 years ago with Roe v. Wade. Abortion had to be the first step because you begin by making human life itself relative. And that's the interesting thing a lot of people miss about the pro-abortion side. It's not that they necessarily argue that the baby in the womb isn't human or isn't a person. They say that its humanity and personhood depends on how the mother feels about it. So if Beyonce was with the Grammys, she was pregnant, she was dancing, and everyone was talking about, oh, she's a mother, she's got a baby in her belly, because she wants her baby. So she wants a baby, and plus it's Beyonce's baby, so of course it's more important than a normal baby. So then in that case, it's human. But if a mother doesn't want the baby, then it's no longer human. So the baby's life is relative to how the mother feels about it.
So, Matt, are you concerned that this is getting worse and worse and worse? And we are coming up to a time in technological history to where we're going to have to defend life. What is life itself? When does it begin and when does it end? And do you have a right as a society to end people's lives because they've lived long enough? We're 15 years away from having to really answer those questions, and we are disconnecting, as you said, from science. They claim that because of global warming, you know, the right are the keepers of science, or the left are the keepers of science. They're denying it's a baby with an ultrasound.
Yeah, they deny that this thing, they would even argue, depending on the mother feels about it, that it's not even human. That argument is, there's no scientific basis for that whatsoever. If it's not a human, what is it? It's got to be, fetus is not a species. A human is a species. So to suggest that at one point in our existence, we are not of the human species, is, of course, crazy. And we know that now they've moved on to, you know, the sort of the final prong was the transgender thing, which is a total insanity. It's suggesting that my sex is relative to how I feel. So it is. Once they've completed that process, and once we've allowed them to, and we buy into it, we buy into this premise, then there's no, I don't know where it ends. There's no stopping it at that point.
Bringing marriage to this.
Well, yeah, marriage is, unfortunately, it seems that many conservatives, Christians have, you know, they'll agree that we need to, you know, we still need to fight about life. We need to stand for the sanctity of life. I think many will also agree that, hey, we can't give them this gender thing because that's just crazy. But now we've kind of jumped over marriage and we've said, well, they won marriage. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, let's just move on from that. I think that's a huge mistake. That's a huge mistake, because the argument about marriage, it was never, you know, the way the left framed it, they said that, oh, we conservatives are trying to make gay marriage illegal. We're trying to prohibit men and men from loving each other. It was never that. Our argument was that marriage is a certain thing. It is something. It has dimensions. It has a function. It has a purpose in society. And so it is the union between a man and a woman. We never asked the government to define it. We just wanted the government to recognize what it is, just like I want the government to continue recognizing what male and female is. I don't want the government to define male and female. I just want them to recognize that a male is a male. You know, we have to have a government that recognizes reality at the very least. So if we allow them, if we just say, okay, fine, well, maybe marriage is relative. If two men love each other, then they can redefine this ancient human institution. And if we give that to them, then on what basis can we engage on any of these other points? I think that because they're all connected, we have to be united. We have to engage them on all of them or none of them. Because if we give them one, then I think we kind of cede the rest.
But how do you navigate these waters when the right is just as unhinged from reality as the left is? I couldn't say just as. But we're headed in the same direction. We're, you know, what does it mean, Matt, honestly, to be a conservative, to be a Christian, to, you know, to believe in small government? What does any of that mean anymore after the last 2 years?
Well, that's a really good question. I know what it means to be a Christian, so that's why more and more I say, well, look, I'm a Christian. If you want to know what to label me a Christian. Label me an American, a father, you know, a husband. I mean, I know what those labels mean, and they define.
Do you think the average person knows what a Christian? Do you think the average person on the left, and quite honestly, many of the people on the right, actually know or define Christianity the same way you do?
No, they don't. They don't. But it does have a definitive definition. Whether or not they reject it, well, that's a different matter, but it does have a definitive definition. Conservatism is like a political label, so those definitions do change over time. I don't think it's really ingrained or definitive, but Christianity is ingrained and definitive. You know, you believe that Christ came to earth to suffer and die for the redemption of mankind, and you strive to live and serve Christ and to be with him in this life and the next. That is Christianity. Anything outside of that is not Christianity, period. But conservatism is, you know, that's a more of a fluid label. And now it's gotten to the point where I don't know what it means anymore. And I don't know if I even want to identify myself with it.
So how do we get to a place to where we can come together and we can actually begin to agree on the truth? You have the left saying things that are absolutely crazy about, you know, if you're not attracted to a woman, if you're, quote, not attracted to a woman with a penis, then you are a sexist. Well, I hate to point it out, but women don't have penises. You know, if you don't believe in, you know, the new right and that a $1 trillion stimulus package is good for the country, well, then you're not with us. You're an enemy. How do we find our way to each other when truth doesn't matter?
Yeah, I think we have to begin. Well, liberals have an advantage because they are unified. They're all kind of on the same page. it is easier for them to be on the same page because their fundamental, guiding principle is that they can do whatever they want and everything is up to them. So it's kind of easy to live according to that and to get everyone to agree with it. Our side, quote unquote, has a belief system that requires more of us. And because you're identifying and you're submitting yourself to objective truths and you're saying you have to order your life around them, and that requires effort and sacrifice. So it is more difficult. But I think we have to begin by just establishing what are our most fundamental, most basic beliefs. And, you know, do we agree on those? And then if we can all agree on those, then, yeah, maybe we could disagree a little. We can have some disagreements on some of the other finer points, on some of the economic things or whatever else. But I think we all have to be on the same page that we are, you know, endowed by the Creator with life, liberty, rights, pursuit of happiness. But that comes from the Creator, and that, you know, sanctity of life, because we were created by God, our lives are sacred, not for our own sake, but because we belong to God. I mean, these have to be our fundamental guiding principles. And if we, you know, I think that's what we unify around. But if we're not going to unify around that, then I don't know what we unify around. Do we just skip over that and then say, well, let's unify around the fact that we all like guns and listen to country music? I mean, that's great and everything, but I don't think that we can unify around that. We have to unify around something more fundamental. So I think that has to be the first step.
Matt Walsh is the author of The Unholy Trinity, Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender. Are you more hopeful or less hopeful than you were, let's say, 12 months ago?
Well, I'm never hopeful.
What's going to happen to us, Matt? What's going to happen to us? Look down the road and take a guess. And I know it's a guess, but just take a guess. What's coming?
I think we have a long and arduous road ahead of us. And I think that if we have any hope of reclaiming the culture, whatever that means at this point, because it is lost to us right now, let's be honest, it's completely lost. But if we have any hope of reclaiming it, it is going to take generations, and our children, you know, and our grandchildren are going to be the ones to, you know, carry the weight of that. This is not, you know, one of my huge concerns about Trump was that conservatives would start to kind of relax, mm-hmm. and figure, oh, well, we already won, everything is going to be fine now. And that's not the case at all.
What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to him? How big was last week?
Well, I think, I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that. It's kind of hard for me to see him actually being in the White House for the next 4 years. I don't know. It's just, I have the same feeling as a lot of people that it's hard for me to, I don't know what 4 years of this looks like. It's hard for me to see how we can make it through 4 years. And at any rate, I mean, there are only really 2 years for the Republicans to do anything, to make any real inroads on any of these issues, because I don't think they're going to own the entire government after the midterms. And so they've got a lot of work to do, and they haven't done much as far as I can tell. So, but, you know, no matter what happens, it's all political. You know, even if everything worked great and Trump was signing conservative laws left and right, which he hasn't been, and I don't think he will, but even if he did, the culture is still the culture. Our institutions are still fundamentally lost to us. You know, the media, academia, pop culture, Hollywood. I mean,
give me an institution. Give me an institution you believe in still.
None. I believe in no institution. I believe in the institution of the family. I mean, but when I say that, I believe in my family, you know. But even the institution of the family itself in this country is in dire straits. Outside of that, I mean, what institution can you believe in? This is something that the godless left has infiltrated all of our institutions, and they began that process many decades ago, and they've been incredibly effective at it. And it's hard for me to look at any institution in America and say, well, this institution is healthy, strong, ordered towards, you know, God, towards a higher power. I don't know.
It has been good talking to you. Yeah, no. It has been good talking to you.
But you know what? He's really, when you read his blogs, man,
I love him.
Yeah.
I love him.
Look,
he's on target every time.
Matt, there's only probably small parts of this that are actually solvable. And I'd like to get you on board with my constitutional amendment that would require one person, one bathroom. There shall not be any shared bathrooms for anyone, anywhere. You go to a sporting event, you're not with all guys, you're with you, because you get to go to the bathroom by yourself.
Pretty good ones.
I am totally on board with that. I don't like sharing bathrooms with people anyway, especially in a sporting event where you're all like, where you have that trough thing that you're all like livestock around it. So yeah, I'm.
Wait a minute, that's
I can get behind this.
That's okay, not to drink out of.
No,
crap. The name of the book is The Unholy Trinity: Blocking the Left's Assault on Life, Marriage, and Gender, and he is making the point, headline on the back of the book, it's not just values, reality itself is under attack. And that is true.
Yes, it is.
We've got to find our way back to reality, and Matt Walsh will help you do that. It's available everywhere. The Unholy Trinity by Matt Walsh. Matt, thanks for being on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Triple 8727 back.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
I still don't have a good reason why Mo Brooks' healthcare bill wouldn't work. If you haven't heard Mo Brooks' healthcare bill, here it is. Effective as of December 31st, 2017, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is repealed, and the provisions of law amended or repealed by such act are restored or revived as if such act had not been enacted, period.
What's funny about that is even the one sentence bill in Washington is still really hard to understand.
Yes.
But it is a hell of a lot better than 2,000 pages, I'll say that.
Here's one that I would like to suggest. March 29th, 2017, the Supreme Court decision known as Roe versus Wade, null and void, as are all statutes pertaining to killing human beings while in the womb, period. I mean, I think
yes.
We could... Give us a couple of seconds and
yes.
Let's work on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
We can boil it down for Congress, a few things that we can capture in a one-line bill.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Can you imagine how much we could get done? If we took Mo Brooks did a health care bill, effective as of December 31st, 2017, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is repealed, and the provisions of law amended or repealed by such act are restored or revived as if such act had not been enacted, period. Amen. There's how you started.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up
Was it
with,
an actual prayer? I was just
to yeah, no,
clarify.
It is.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. I mean, I came up with, you know, give us 10 minutes and we can come up with a few of them. Supreme Court decision knows Roe versus Wade, null and void, as are all statutes pertaining to killing human beings while in the womb.
Done.
I know that way nobody's saying, I love these people who say read the bill.
Read the bill.
Yeah, you can read it. Everybody knows exactly what it is.
There'd be some Supreme Court conflicts with that particular.
Yeah, well, that
one
is probably not, but we could try. I mean,
you could do something like effective March 29th, 2017, all employed citizens of the United States of America with an income greater than $40,000.
Yep.
Shall remit to the Treasury 10% of their annual earnings once per year that they are employed. No exceptions, no exemptions. Those earning less than $40,000 shall remit nothing.
You imagine that? You imagine that if that was our tax code?
Yeah.
Do you imagine what would happen to our country?
It would be so simplified. You wouldn't have the tax fraud. You wouldn't have the cheating.
All the money saved by...
You probably have more revenue.
And
Without the exemptions and deductions, you would have more revenue,
but all of the companies that spend all of this money on lawyers and attorneys and tax, all of that stuff. All of that money would be freed up for investment.
Yeah.
Be huge boon to the economy.
Huge.
It would be a huge one. Also, we did not, tie this to inflation. So the government's going to have to figure out how to get smaller and smaller every year.
I love that.
I like that.
Okay, try this one on for size. Immediately upon the signing of this bill, all current immigration laws shall be strictly enforced and severe penalties and fines shall be levied by any and all employers in violation of the law.
I think that's all we need to do. In addition to something, you know, maybe a border wall or fence. Just the fence and this, just enforce the laws we have. And it's going to take care of the problem.
Sanctuary cities being a good example.
Sanctuary cities. Right? Yes. That's all employers in violation of the law. The city can be an employer, too.
How about this? Retroactive to fiscal year 2012. Mm-hmm. The speed limit in all 50 states is null and void. And local authority shall remit reimbursements of any and all fines levied since then.
This one sounds a little personal.
How much would you be getting back? I'm just trying to help humanity. How much would you be getting back, Pat? About $80,000.
How about effective March 29th, 2017, the United States Congressman shall serve no more than 6 terms, 12 total years, and United States Senator shall serve no more than 2 terms.
That's exactly what I think it should be. It should be 12 years for both Congress and Senate, and then you're done.
Yeah, and by the way, you can't just put 2 terms in there because then they would increase the length of the term.
Yeah, you have to put the years in.
Yes.
Okay, I like the idea that, again, I love these people who say, read the bill. So we enact this. Effective immediately, Congress shall draft no legislation larger than 1 page.
Well, you better put a font size in there.
No kidding.
It'll be like Willy Wonka with the magnifying glass by the end.
They'll be writing bills on the heads of pins to see it.
All right, here you go. Effective at the end of this week, Department of Education closed permanently.
Do you have to say it like Jackie Gleason?
Closed.
To the moon.
And to be fair, because obviously you're compromising here, you're giving them to the end of the week.
Thank you. That's not ridiculous.
I mean, that's plenty of notice for the employees. Plenty of notice.
Right. That would be good. Federal Reserve.
Closed. Would you give them to the end of the week?
I'll give them to the end of the week. Yeah. No, they're bankers as of
right now. Closed. About effective upon the signature of the president, the Environmental Protection Agency is officially permanently closed.
I like that.
Now, there's an issue here maybe with free speech in the First Amendment, but effective immediately, any person's uttering the word consensus, the phrases "the debate is over," "settled science," or 97% of Senate scientists agree as they relate to global warming or climate change will be arrested and repeatedly poked with pickle forks. I don't know. Constitutionally,
that might not be. Yeah.
The word "pickle fork" does not appear in the Constitution. Right. It's important to note that.
It doesn't. So that doesn't mean.
And it may not. I mean, it is a pickle fork, so it may not be
inhumane.
Doesn't say
we can't do it.
Right.
It may not be inhumane. It may be. I mean, that's kind of funny. Everybody might just go, I mean, it's a pickle fork. That's not going to hurt him that bad.
It's just a slight little poke. It's just a little irritating. It's nothing violent. It's just a little irritating.
Because it's little pickles.
Mm-hmm. I would propose one more, and I'll give him till April 1st on this one.
Okay. All right.
Effective April 1st, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will admit the Anglo-American rock band Foreigner into its rightful place in the Hall of Fame, or federal troops will be deployed to Cleveland to blow that stinking building to smithereens.
Then it would be
closed.
Why the Anglo-American language in there?
Well, because I wanted to mention that they're both English and American. It had to be said.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they did say
it is their rightful place, too.
Right. Yes.
It is their rightful place.
It is.
I've got 3 things to show you.
All right.
But only time for one. One is such a blast from the past on the difference between America then and now. That's this newspaper from the New York Times. You won't believe the stories on the front page of the newspaper. It's like a different country. This is a letter from Calvin Coolidge that basically says, this is what makes America great. That's unbelievable. Or there's this. This is not what it appears. This is a Holy Bible, as you will see, from the 1700s. Mm-hmm. But it's actually not a Holy Bible. It's something entirely different. This is a disguise from the 1700s. Which one do you want to see? Because I can only do one.
Well, we're doing a special on Coolidge next week, so maybe we should hold the Coolidge thing till next week. That one kind of makes sense. Right. And I don't know. I mean, I'm curious now on the Bible thing.
Well, the Bible thing. I mean, that's one of the first ways that people smuggled drugs into the country, probably. So let's take a look.
Only sure. Jeffy would come up with that. It actually is something that you are carrying something. It actually is. But I'm going to have you guys decide what it is. If you open it up, you'll see it's from the 1700s. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, early 1800s. The Bible is earlier than when this was made. But you'll see a square is cut out. The pages are the real Bible, but it's been glued together. Wow. And there is a piece of lambskin on it. Can you tell me what this is?
A little hammer in there. There's a cross.
Witchcraft.
Is that like a vampire killing kit?
This is a early 1800s vampire killing kit.
Wow.
They had to hide it inside the Bible like that.
How bizarre is that?
It's a 100-year-old.
Wow.
That is really cool.
A clove of garlic.
Garlic.
Clove of garlic.
It's a clove of garlic.
Please, can
these
you close
were holy water.
Can you close that now?
Here are the stakes and the hammer.
You don't need to get that close to me with that thing, please.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Those are really cool.
Yes.
So that, like, the standard, like,
that's really weird.
Stereotypical
I love that.
Way you kill vampires in every movie today, that's really the same. I mean, every one of those is the same, of the lore.
Huh. Yeah. Now, there is another one that we saw at auction. This one is David Barton's. I told him, I was reading something, history, and I said, David, we have to get these. Now, there's speculation that some of them... that were made around the turn of the century were made because Americans went, oh, this is hysterical. This is great. We can make a fortune on these and we'll sell them as old.
Right.
And so they were faked around the turn of the century for 1900 here in America. So you have to be careful on, you know, is this real? Is this not? We just found one with an old gun from the early 1700s with the silver bullets.
Wow.
I mean, it's just great.
Really?
It's great.
So, I mean, they were serious
about
it?
This would be
weird.
A vampire hunter's kit of going in and trying to find the vampire. Is that crazy? That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Revolution. It's really good. Welcome to the program. You'll like it. Welcome to the program. So glad that you have joined us today. As I'm looking at that vampire hunting kit.
How many vampires were killed with that kit, do you think?
Okay, none, because there are no such things as vampires.
Were they terrible vampire hunters?
I mean, none?
You've got the whole kit.
No vampires. I just...
Wow.
As we were sitting in the break and we were talking, going through it and looking at it, and I'm like, look how far we've come. I mean, to where we would believe in vampires, and then I realized, well, we really haven't come that far, have we? We really haven't. I mean, we haven't really made it on the truth front.
Yeah, thinking of the last year and a half or 2 years is
8 years, 10 years,
mm-hmm.
17 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really. I keep going back. Monica Lewinsky. I mean, the last 20 years of this country has been really quite remarkable.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Yeah, that's,
yes, they have.
Wow, what an edgy take there.
And what in the world does that have to do with how many vampires that kid has killed?
Well, I mean, probably thousands. I mean, thousands of vampires killed.
You know, I think I have time. Let me show you. Let me just show you a couple of things on this. We'll come back to this some other time, but I've got a couple of minutes. This is a newspaper we just got from November 25th, 1942. Now, this is the first newspaper where Auschwitz is mentioned for the first time, that they are trying to kill all of the Jews in Poland by the end of the year, or 90% of the Jews in Poland by the end of the year. But you look at this. Two Thanksgivings for Pacific troops And they talk about how the war is being fought with the international dateline. So there'll be two Thanksgivings. President Warren's production chiefs to reconcile aims. If they can't agree, he'll put them in a foodless room until they reach a solution. Think of that. Let's see. Valton arrested for deportation. Board cites wavering loyalties. Chicago trio get death penalty for treason. Wives get prison terms.
Wow, when was the last time anyone was tried and convicted for treason?
Right. And given death sentences.
Wow.
Let's see. British push foe. Nazis retreat, some in panic, leaving Romanians in lurch. Nazis' grip on Stalingrad broken. 15,000 slain as Soviet push gains. U.S. bombers score a bullseye in Tripoli's harbor. Allies have a slow gain. Attack of Axis armor unit broken up by forces. More clashes in the south. All of these things are on the front page. We've been at war for 17 years, 16 years. We wiped out two giant ideologies, National Socialism and one that was just as dangerous in Japan.
Yeah.
We wiped them out in 4 years. Our in 17 years, I've never seen our newspaper front page newspaper look like this.
Oh, no.
Never. We're not even close to being serious about fighting a war.
Nope.
This is what life looks like when your country is serious about fighting an enemy and stomping it out.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.